He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, "So that, what do I do?" They go, "Well, you're not leaving."
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
That is right. What's up, everybody? It's Friday night. You're on campus with Cuervo. Hopefully everybody's had a good Friday so far. We're going to talk some college football now. So I appreciate everybody listening in. The number to call is 347-637-2306. You want to get on online. You want to talk about your college football team. Get on in here, make the call, and let's talk some football. So we're going to go over the top five games that I think are the top five games of the week, at least for the day, I should say. And we're gonna break them down. We're going to talk a little bit about what each game could have in store for us. What are some things to look out for and things like that. Real quick, let's go over some scores from today's games and even yesterday's games. We're gonna get into that as well. Right now, we got Michigan State 28-0 over Jacksonville State. No surprise there. Spartans put up 21 points in the first quarter. Halfway through the second, again, 28-0. Michigan State with the big lead. Also, we've got BYU taking on University of Connecticut. Connecticut just put the ball in the end zone, and now it is a 21-6 pending the extra point with BYU in the lead. They are getting ready to kick their extra point, so it's going to be a 21-7 game unless they somehow mess this up. So it is 21-7. And I got my guy on. I was really, really hoping he was going to get on. So we're going to go ahead. College football going on. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good. I just had to get that work week behind me, man. Just starting to get fired up about tomorrow. I can't get fired up tonight. The games don't look as appealing to me, but it is football. But tomorrow, it's going to be a war, man. We're going to see some upsets tomorrow.
I think we could potentially, too, Tarvin. It's Friday, baby. Crack a beer. Do whatever you got to do to relax, because the weekend is here, and it's week one of college football. I just updated, got some updated scores, Tarvin, 21-7, BYU ahead of UConn, and, of course, Sparty beating up on Jacksonville State. They don't have any business playing them, but it's on the schedule, so they have to do it. It's 28-0, 9 minutes to go in the second quarter of that game. UConn and BYU has about 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter of that game. So, Tarvin, since I got you on with me, man, let's start the show out with last night's games. And, I mean, I listened to the show Wednesday night, Way in Sports, and a lot of people were on the South Carolina bandwagon. A lot of people still might be. Those people, correct me if I'm wrong, Tarvin, did somebody, maybe I misheard, did somebody actually pick South Carolina to make it to the last four, the final four playoff?
They did. Jason Humphrey, man. Remember, I laughed when he said that.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how he's feeling today after they get demolished by Kenny Hill. Okay? Kenny Hill and the Texas A&M Aggies, they put up 52 points. They put a 50-burger up on the Gamecocks at home, by the way, South Carolina was. So, and I know you called it, Tarvin. But let me ask to the extent of the question I'm about to ask. You said it at the beginning, South Carolina's overrated. How overrated do you think they are with them starting out as the number 9 team in the nation, according to the AP poll? How overrated was that? Do you think they are still a top 15 team?
Well,
do you even think they should be in the top 25?
No, I mean, after last night's game, I think you have to earn being ranked, Cuervo, and you're right. I didn't pick A&M to beat South Carolina, but I was very concerned about the game. As you heard the show, I thought it would be a very close game. And the matchup problem was South Carolina's defense didn't have a secondary. They lost Clowney, another All-American. And playing against a head coach in Sumlin that knows how to develop quarterbacks and score points, that's what concerned me. I was surprised that A&M's defense played the way they did. But is South Carolina a ranked team? That's why preseason polls mean nothing. Because think about it, after watching South Carolina last night and you got to see them, do you think they're a top 25 team?
I would put them I put them where they have A&M ranked, and I think that brings up my next question, Tarvin. So we're talking about how overrated South Carolina is. Now, do you think A&M was a little underrated with the number 21 ranking that they gave in the preseason polls? Do you think maybe A&M should have been ranked a little bit higher than what they were ranked?
I would put A&M right outside of top 10 team, probably, honestly, after watching last night, not before. I think they were ranked perfect, like where I thought they should be. Maybe, honestly, Cuervo, a little higher than I thought they would be. But you got to remember, this is one football game. This was a bad matchup. It was just a bad matchup. South Carolina didn't have the horses to be able to score at the pace A&M was, and they didn't have the depth on defense or the talent, really. And I heard one thing that concerned me. I heard on TV last night the defensive coach for South Carolina before the game said this is his best defense he's ever had at South Carolina. Well, I don't remember them getting 60 hung almost at home. And I think A&M still got a lot of question marks, Cuervo. I mean, they're young on the defensive side of the ball. The quarterback will make some mistakes. A running game, I don't know how good it's going to be in conference play once it gets, you know, people start looking at the offense. I would put them at about number 11 or 12 right now.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that, Tarvin, is everybody was ranting and raving, and maybe I'm overreacting, about this Mike Davis kid, okay? Mike Davis was supposed to be the next Marcus Lattimore of South Carolina. He was supposed to, you know, he's that good. And, A, he only carried the ball 6 times. It wasn't even the top rusher for 15 yards. So, I mean, do we give credit to the A&M defense for just showing up? Or, you know, is this South Carolina team's just overall, they're just not as good as people thought they were? And, I mean, I'm just confused as to why South Carolina was still ranked as high as they were. I mean, especially with this performance, let's be honest. I think some people even before were kind of wondering why. I think Oklahoma and South Carolina, you could argue, Tarvin, that they were the most two overrated teams going into the season. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah. I mean, Georgia, South Carolina, Oklahoma, those teams right there are teams that I don't think – you know, deserve. I think the hype's a little too much, but let me tell you something about South Carolina's running game, and I think they panicked a little bit last night, Cuervo. I mean, they didn't expect to get come in and punched in the mouth like that, and they started throwing the balls deep. They abandoned the running game because they were down, and it ended up costing them. I don't think Texas A&M's run defense is Alabama or LSU or anything. I just think they were very fortunate that they got some touchdowns, got a big lead, and forced South Carolina to throw the ball more. But I am impressed with Texas A&M's defense last night. On the road, first game, held them to 28 points like that. That's impressive to me for Texas A&M. A lot better, more talented team than last year's defense was. I still don't think they're going to go to Auburn and Alabama and just beat them or anything like that, but you never know. That's why these preseason, it's hard to pick these teams, Cuervo. Where would you have A&M right now if you were doing the polls?
Well, I mean, obviously it all depends on how the rest of the week plays out. We still got, you know, three games that you know, where teams are playing each other that are actually two games, that they're all, you know, ranked and they're playing each other. So, but I mean, I would think even with the loss of Manziel and the loss of Mike Evans, and even for that matter, Jake Matthews, the offensive lineman, I mean, I thought A&M would still at least be a top 15 team. And I say that because, you know, I know those were important players, Tarvin. However, in college football, losing three guys, how much of a drop-off is that really? If, especially with a team in the SEC, I mean, we see teams every year lose at least three guys in this conference, and they're still performing at a high level. So I don't know if, dare I say it, you know, the loss of Manziel really led people to believe that this team was just going to be that bad just because they lost a guy like Manziel. However, with a performance like this, Tarvin, I mean, my God, what does that tell you about the program? It never was about Manziel. It was all about the coach, Kevin Sumlin. This is a guy that can do the most with the talent that he has and can develop, like you said, develop quarterbacks. But, I mean, it looks like to me like he can develop, you know, from all around. I mean, defensively, they looked great. Offensively, obviously, they took a guy that nobody's heard of, just like with Manziel. Never heard of Kenny Hill before. And now he's the talk of the day because of the 500 yards that he put up, the three touchdowns, and the flawless, you know, passing performance that he had. Didn't turn the ball over, you know, completed a high percentage of his passes. And, you know, he's the talk of the day until tomorrow, obviously. But at least he's stolen the spotlight, Tarvin, in college football. He has the country's attention for the next 48 hours.
You know, Trey made me laugh yesterday, and I don't know if he was being serious, but he said, I was so close to putting in my Heisman top five. And I'm like, who? And he said, Kenny Hill. I said, well, hey, you didn't even know who he was until last night. Don't give me that Heisman garbage, you know, talking about it. But, you know, I gained a lot more respect for Kevin Sumlin last night. And they lost. I know it's hard when you lose three players in the NFL, but when you lose three first-round players and Matthews, Manziel, and Evans, that's tough to replace. But they did it, man. I mean, every receiver, I think the water boy caught three passes last night. Everybody on A&M was catching balls. I mean, how do you not recruit? I mean, all Sumlin's got to do is say, hey, we have eight receivers, but you're going to get at least five catches a game. I mean, the way they play offense, I mean, it's scary how good this team could be. If they get a running game, Cuervo, it's going to be real scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you know, let's not get this twisted, folks. We're not sitting here and trying to crown A&M as a national champion, but at the same time, you have to give this team a lot of credit. I mean, with the losses on offense that they had, you know, people, you know, A&M is an afterthought now because Manziel's gone and Mike Evans is gone and things like that. Nobody paid attention to A&M. When we talk about the SEC, all we talked about was what, Tarvin? Alabama bouncing back, Auburn, you know, seeing how they're going to come back after playing for a national title. Oh, by the way, Nick Marshall's not going to play in the first game. Oh, let's talk about Georgia because they're playing Clemson. All the headlines were everywhere but A&M. And you know what, Tarvin? I really think they wanted to make a point of it last night, playing a top 10 team on the road. And I think they went out to make a statement. They wanted to make a point and say, hey, don't forget about us over here down in Aggieland. And I think they made their point. I really do, because again, South Carolina every year, for whatever reason, Tarvin, gets love. They get quite a bit of love. And I don't know if it's the Steve Spurrier thing.
Spurrier.
You know, and by the way, Lou Holtz, who works for ESPN, used to be their coach as well. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. However, South Carolina just gets a lot of love every single year, and A&M says, well, hold on a second. You know, nobody's talking about us. How come we're not getting any attention? How come nobody's talking about A&M? And when they do talk about A&M, oh, well, you guys lost Manziel, so you guys are dead in the water. So, I mean, is that the type of respect that you gained for Kevin Sumlin, just the fact that, you know, he didn't give up on his, you know, ability to coach just because he lost, you know, a Heisman Trophy quarterback and a guy that, you know, pretty much put this program back on the map?
Well, Cuervo, I looked at, you know, the pregame to me tells me a lot. If I can see a coach talk before the game, right before kickoff, Kevin Sumlin was cool, calm, and collected. Like, he knew something. Spurrier was the one that was nervous, and he looked like he saw a ghost last night. I mean, he was throwing shit on the sidelines. He was throwing his temper tantrums. And I'm telling you, last night was a statement. Kevin Sumlin, I don't know if you know it, Cuervo, in the SEC on the road, I think he's like 11-2. And think about that for a minute. In the SEC West, he plays. In the SEC, he's like 11-2 in road games.
Yeah, and I think the two losses, correct me if I'm wrong, Tarvin, Alabama and LSU. I believe those are his two losses.
No,
on the road.
It was LSU and Florida.
Well, no, I thought they played Florida at home. You're talking about the first year they went to the SEC, right? I believe that game was at home.
Yeah, it was. They lost to LSU and
Alabama.
They went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama that in 2 years ago. And last year, Alabama went to College Station and beat them, so they were 1-1. And I'm trying to think it may. It was Missouri, I believe, or somebody like that beat them. No, I'm trying to think who beat them. I know LSU was one. That was last year. And then I believe it was
South Carolina,
maybe. I can't remember.
Let's take a look. Okay, so it was no, that wasn't the year. I think it was last year, Tarvin. It was back-to-back games. It was LSU and Missouri. You're right. I have it right here. It was last year. They lost to LSU 34-10, and then they lost to Missouri at Missouri 28-21. So those were the two losses. Those are it right there.
But do you think this team's got what it takes to go to Tuscaloosa and win there again? Do you think they have what it takes to go to Auburn and beat them this year? Because if they do that, they're going to win the West, Cuervo. It's not even going to be close. If they win those two games, they're in the SEC championship game.
Oh, without a doubt, Tarvin. And do I think they have what it takes? I mean, based on what I saw last night, yes. If I'm a betting man, and I hate to go that route, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to say no. However, what I will say, and you can put me on the record for this, to me it's all going to depend on how these quarterbacks are playing going into that game. So, you know, by then I would hope that Nick Saban has made a decision as far as who his starter is going to be, whether it's going to be Coker or Sims. And depending on how he's playing, and depending on this kid Hill, obviously injuries are always a factor, but let's just assume both of them are healthy going into this game. I'm going to tell you, Tarvin, if Hill is on fire going into this game and you've got quarterback problems in Alabama, oh, man, I would...
Yeah, I mean...
To beat
A&M, you're going to have to outscore them, don't you think? I mean, I don't see anybody shutting that offense down, do you? I don't care how good your defense is. They're still going to put up in the 30s. I don't care how good you are.
Oh, heck with – I mean, yeah, you could – how about Alabama's offense? I mean, what if they're not clicking? And this A&M defense that we saw last night – goes in there and, you know, lays the wood like they did last night and, you know, pulls it off again. That's what I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at this A&M defense.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I think because I'm going to make one of these kind of weird predictions in the future. About 6 weeks, A&M goes into Tuscaloosa and beats Alabama. And I'm going to tell you another thing. They're going to go to Auburn and lose, and not because I'm a homer, which I am. That's one of the reasons. But Auburn can actually score points, and a lot of them. And to beat A&M, you're going to have to be a team like Auburn. You can't be a team that's not ready at quarterback, where you don't know what your identity is really, and you can't score points. And I think Alabama could struggle tomorrow scoring.
You know what, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tarvin, because that is one of the games that actually that's the first game I want to talk about, is that West Virginia-Alabama game. That's my number five. And I mean, trust me, I was struggling, and I was digging to pick these games. And, I mean, three of these games were a no-brainer, Tarvin. There's going to be the top three games, I think, are the same games on everybody's list. Number four and five, I had to really dig and fight with myself to say, okay, this is number four and this is number five game of the day. So, but before we get into number five game, which is West Virginia-Alabama, is there anything else you wanted to talk about as far as this game? Or, I mean, nobody's talking about Ole Miss being up on Boise State 35-13. Bo Wallace goes out there and, you know, he has a nice game. He threw for 387 yards, four touchdowns, but he did have three interceptions. Now, if you're an Ole Miss fan, are you concerned with that, or do you think he's just knocking rust off?
Old Piss looked like Old Piss last night, Quarry. I don't know if you watched that game. It was like 7-6 in the fourth quarter, and they just blew it open with some turnovers and things. But I'm telling you, Ole Miss, when you start your season with two penalties, illegal procedure penalties in a row, that tells you something about the discipline of your team. I look at them, their defense can stop the run, I think, a little bit, but they won't be able to hold up for a season. Ole Miss is going to be Ole Piss just very shortly, forever.
I mean, they caught a break playing Boise State in their opener. I'll tell you, if this was the Boise State team of, what, 5 years ago, I don't know if we're talking about Ole Miss with getting the W, Tarvin. I mean, and you know, you got to remember Boise State was a force back, you know, 5-6 years ago. So, but they get the win regardless. They play next week. They play SEC opening game at Vanderbilt. So that might be a game to look out for. So,
that's,
you know,
scary.
I mean,
that's scary. I mean, Temple went in and beat them by 50 last night. I'm sure Ole Miss is shaking right now thinking about that tough trip up to Nashville.
Yeah, 37-7. That's pretty embarrassing. And that's at home, too. So, but, yeah, that's going to be a pissed-off Vanderbilt team, especially with their coach leaving the way they did and all that. But that's for another day. Tarvin, so anything else on last night's games before we get into tomorrow's action?
No, just everybody, please change your role on Texas A&M right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what the point I was trying to make too is, you know, as highly as we're speaking of A&M, I mean, they could go out and lay an egg next week and, you know, lose to who are they playing next week, Lamar. I mean, they might beat them by a touchdown. I mean, you just never know. You just never know what could happen, and that's the great thing about college football is it's so predictable that it's unpredictable. College football really is unpredictable, Tarvin. You just never know. And, you know, for A&M fans out there too, slow your roll. Stop with the national champion blogs and all that other crap that I'm sure some of them out there are doing it, Tarvin. So let's slow down and all that stuff, so.
Well, I'll give you an example real quick. You know, Auburn last year beat Washington State by 7. They looked like dog piss, and next thing you know, they're playing Florida State in the national championship game. So let's just wait about 6 more weeks, and let's see what these teams have.
Right. Once you've gotten beaten up by your conference a little bit, you know, then we can start talking about who the real deal is and who the real teams are, and, you know. I mean, it's a nice win for A&M. Let's not take anything away from them, however. Let's not crown them, you know, and give them the crystal football either. So, But all right, Tarvin, if that's it. Oh, by the way, Arizona State beat up on Weber State 45-14 last night. That's for Sonny Clark, because I know he's an Arizona State fan. So hopefully Sonny is listening, or I think he's busy, but he'll be listening in the archives probably. So all right, here we go, Tarvin. Top five. Like I said, I had to dig for two of these games, and, you know, I picked one of them for you. The other one, I mean, Alabama's always a headline. So let's talk about West Virginia going to Tuscaloosa. I believe the line now is 25.5. And, you know, my question about this game, the topic I want to talk about with this game, Tarvin, is, who the hell is the starting quarterback for the Crimson Tide?
Blake Sands.
I don't know. And I don't think Nick Saban even knows. So you're saying
he named him a starter for right now. And I think you're going to see a dual quarterback system against West Virginia to see who actually solidifies himself as the starting quarterback, kind of like he did with McCarron and when he was coming up. But to me, if you don't know your quarterback right now, I mean, and I think Saban's holding off on doing this because they're playing West Virginia. If they were playing Texas A&M, he'd have named a starter 3 weeks ago. I think he knows, but it's a scary thing that Blake Sims is your starting quarterback, Cuervo. Remember what I said. If Blake Sims is Alabama's starter for the year, they're a 3 or 4 loss team. You can mark that down.
So you think Coker should be the starter?
Well, I think they're – And here's what I said the other night, and you tell me what you think. And this it brought back memories of when Cody Burns played at Auburn and Chris Todd. Cody Burns was the quarterback, and then Chris Todd came in, they started him, and you had a racial problem on the team. And I think Sims has the backing of the team. He's been there 4 or 5 years, and this Coker kid comes in. If Saban named him starting quarterback too early, it would divide the team. And I think to keep a racial war from going on in that locker room, Cuervo, Sims is going to be your starter. It's his to lose. If he comes in and looks like crap and Coker comes in and plays good, then he can say, look, I started Coker because he was the better quarterback, you know. But until then, it's Blake Sims' job to lose. Saban can't risk losing that locker room.
No, you're right. And I mean, with the way this team is rolling and, you know, going into the season and all those things, I mean, I really think that last thing you want to do is create any type of separation or anything like that amongst the players and things like that. So, you know, it's so sad to talk about that, Tarvin, but I think you might have a point as far as, you know, the whole race thing. And again, I mean, it should never be an issue. I don't care if you're black, white, purple, orange, green. If you can play quarterback and you get the job done, then I think that's what really, really matters. But, I agree, because as far as why he hasn't really officially named one yet, this is a warm-up game for Alabama, Tarvin. I'm sorry, but to all West Virginia fans out there, you guys are not going to even be close by the end of this game. And who knows, but then by next week we could be eating our words. But I seriously doubt that's going to happen. And this is pretty much a scrimmage almost for Alabama. And boy, oh boy. I mean,
it is.
The past few
it
years,
is.
Alabama started out with some better games. But this is just going to be a game of, hey, let's see how they look against a real defense. And by the end of this week, we'll know who the starter is.
And, you know, something funny, you know, we talked about A&M starting the sophomore over the freshman last night. Les Miles did it, too. He's going to start the sophomore over the freshman to hope he gets some luck. But, you know, one thing I'll tell you about Saban, Cuervo, is I trust him as a coach. I do question him because I look at who he hired as an offensive coordinator, and it makes me scratch my head. But Saban's got the talent on that team that, Cuervo, you could come out there and play quarterback tomorrow and beat West Virginia by 14. So just imagine what a guy that's been there 5 years is going to be able to do.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big plus, because the kid knows the system, he knows the playbook. I mean, he may not have executed it on the field, but he knows the playbook. And you know, that to me is very important. So I really think that, and that's what I'm saying, Tarvin, is even though he might not have been on the field very much last year, I think that because of the fact that he knows the playbook well, that's going to pay off big time for Sims.
Hey, Cuervo, I got a question for you about last year with Alabama. You know, most of their games, they were up big, and it seems like Saban was trying to pad McCarron's stats to hopefully give him a Heisman or something. But how important is that Sims should have gotten to play last year? How much bigger would it be if Sims got to play almost half the season last year with some scrimmage time, some reps, and real game action compared to just sitting on the bench? I mean, that's huge to me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm looking at it, last year, now that you mention it, the most action that he got last year, Tarvin, was against Georgia State. They won the game 45-3. He completed 14 out of 18 passes for 130 yards and a touchdown. That is the most action that he got in a game last year. And real quick, we'll just go, I'm not going to name the teams that it was against, but I'm going to just go off the passing numbers as far as completed and attempted passes, completed and attempted. So in one game, he went 0 for 1, then he went 1 for 1, then he went 1 for 1 again, then he went 0 for 3, then he went 0 for 1, and then he went 2 for 4. So that Georgia State game, 14 for 18, that was by far the most action that he got last year. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if the reason that McCarron played or Sims didn't play as much, I don't know if it was to help McCarron win a Heisman. But if that's what it was, I think Saban's going to learn a valuable lesson here. And it's funny to talk about, Tarvin, a guy like Nick Saban still learning lessons in the game of football. But, you know, I guess it's like they always say, you know, you're always learning something. You know, you never stop learning. And
that's,
I think,
same
for
with
Nick
Coker.
Saban. Go ahead. What about Coker?
It's the same with Coker that Jimbo Fisher did to him last year. Is, you know, I mean, how many games did you notice Florida State was up 50 at halftime? And yet, when he did put Coker in, it was handing the ball off. And that's how you kill your depth on your team, is not running your offense when they're in the game. You have to continue the offense. Coker threw for 200 yards last year, Cuervo. And all those games he could have been playing in, he was 50%, and he didn't throw a touchdown, I don't believe. And that's coaching right there. You develop. Look at Malzahn, what he did with Jeremy Johnson last year. He didn't redshirt him. He started two games last year, and he got in. Even some of the biggest games Auburn played, Jeremy Johnson at least got a couple of snaps at least, especially in the A&M game. He had like 10 snaps. So you have to bring these guys along in game time action. You can't put them in up 50 and handing the ball off. They're not going to get better that way, and I think coaches are stupid for doing that.
Absolutely. And, again, same thing with Coker. You know, real quick, he played 6 games. Okay, he played in 6 games, 2 for 2, 2 for 4, 3 for 6, 3 for 7, 4 for 8, and then 4 for 9. So he completed half of his passes. Okay, awesome. 18 for 30, 250 yards. So, yeah, you're pretty much on it. You know, he threw for 250 yards in total last year. No touchdowns, one interception. So, that is, I think it's going to really hurt Alabama big time this year. And I know on your show, Tarvin, I picked Bama to still make it to the Final Four. And the reason I did is because at the end of the day, the one thing about college football is you can, when you're as talented as Bama is, you can get away with mediocre quarterback play or lack of experience at the quarterback position, because when you take a look at it, I mean, Alabama's, they're stacked everywhere else. I mean, they got T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry at running back. They got Cooper and Christian Jones at the receiver position. So these guys are, you know, some of them are All-American, definitely All-Conference. So, and I know we brought this up before, Tarvin, and I'll ask you real quick, because I know we're both picking Alabama to win the game, so we're not even going to get into that. But real quick, I know we talked about it on your show a while back, and I just want to raise the question to you. We talked, you know, we had said that the thing about Alabama is, you know, you can plug any quarterback in there and they're going to look good. So it was McCarron as good as, you know, people made him out to be? Was Greg McElroy as good as people made him out to be? Was, hell, we can even go back to the Brody Croyle days. I mean, these guys had big-time receivers, big-time running backs running behind them. Will this be the year, Tarvin, that it finally puts the stamp on and proves that you don't have to have a great quarterback in college football as long as you have a supporting cast around him to get him, make enough plays to make him, quote-unquote, look good? Is that how you win in college football?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you. And a couple of years ago, yeah, but it just seems to me, and I could be wrong, this is just my perception of what I look at. It seems to me the game's changing so much that you need a quarterback that can put up points and make plays. And it's, the offenses are so much more sophisticated now. Defenses don't have a chance in today's college. You won't see the Alabama defenses back from 92 anymore like that, not giving up hardly anything. But I think Alabama figured it out last year. You're going to have a great quarterback to win a championship. A.J. McCarron, look at him. He's not in the NFL. Brody Croyle, McElroy, none of those guys are in the NFL. There's not an NFL quarterback on this team either. But I mean, there's no explosiveness in these quarterbacks. Yeah, they have five-star talent all around them, Cuervo, but what's going to happen when they get in the game and they need 40 points? You can't do it being one-dimensional. You're going to have to rely on a running game and a quarterback making plays to keep a defense honest, and I think that's why Alabama's going to have to go out and recruit a big-time quarterback if they're going to continue winning national champions. It's not going to happen this year. Sure, they could make it to the Final Four, maybe, but they're not going to go undefeated, but they're not going to be able to win a championship with what they have on that field right now. Saban knows it. You know it. I know it. That's why he went out and got Coker. Too bad Coker is like a used car you bought from somebody that swore it was a good one. Buddy, I'm giving him away because I'm upgrading. I don't drive it anymore. I'm giving you a steal. You get it, drive it out of the parking lot, and it blows up. I think that's what Coker is to the Alabama program. Saban bought a lemon, Cuervo.
Yeah, and he's about to start that ignition tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes. So, yeah,
I could be wrong, man. I could be wrong. I mean, that's my opinion.
Right. You know, when it comes to quarterback, I think it also depends too, Tarvin, on what kind of offense you run. So, you know, we'll take a team like Ohio State, for example. I really believe that losing Braxton Miller takes them from a national title contender to a two-loss team. And I say that because of the style of offense that Ohio State runs. You have to have a mobile quarterback that can somewhat throw the ball just like Braxton Miller does. And with the pro-style offense that they run down there in Tuscaloosa, Tarvin, I think you can hide it a little bit more as far as having a quarterback that, you know, doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. But as long as he can make the basic throws, then that's why I say it all depends on the style, because with the spread, I mean, you got to have wheels, you got to be able to, you know, hand the ball off. That's all you're really doing with that type of offense, and throw occasionally. But you know, when it comes to a pro style offense, I think you need a guy that has a little bit better of an arm, but at the same time, he doesn't have to be fast. He doesn't have to be athletic at all. As long as he has a decent arm, you know, he's got All-American running backs, all-SEC running backs, all-SEC receivers around him, and a good offensive line, which I think is the most important part of a college, you know, for a team, is the O-line, the guys up front. offense and defense, then, you know, you can get away with it a little bit more. You don't have to have a, like I said, a Peyton Manning or a, you know, a guy that is just, you know, off the charts as far as passing is concerned. So that's why I mentioned it, because I think with the style of offense that Alabama plays, they can get away with it a little more as far as not having a guy that, you know, that is an all-star. So, but, you know, I think that there's no question about it, Tarvin. We both got Alabama winning this game. Do they cover, though? I guess that'd be an interesting question to ask. Is that minus 26? I say they don't.
I don't think so, but I hope they lose. It'd be a perfect opportunity for West Virginia to come in there and spank Nick Saban's butt. Could you imagine tomorrow night at this time, Alabama is 0-1 losing to West Virginia? Could you imagine? The wheels would be off, and it would be a disaster. But I think Alabama wins the game comfortably. Cuervo probably 34-13, something like that, and they don't cover, but it's close. They could at the end, but 21 sounds about right for that game.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a 17-20 point win for them. I don't know if it's going to be quite 26, but, you know, I'll take West Virginia with the plus 26. I'll take the Mountaineers of West Virginia. So that's the number 5 game. All right, Tarvin, number 4 is just for you. All right. Arkansas coming down to Jordan-Hare. Are you going to this game, by the way? Are you going to drive down there, or are you going to be watching from your house?
I'm going to be watching from the house. I have, for the first 2 weeks, I'm kind of sideline. I can't go to the games, but after that I'll start going. So kind of glad I'm not going. I'll miss all the games if I went down tomorrow and the 4 o'clock kickoff. It's just, and it's rain. Could be 60% chance of the thunderstorms and stuff. So it's a good day to stay at home, watch a big screen.
Absolutely. Hey, did you order the do you know if you got the goal line, ESPN goal line channel, or you're not sure?
No, I don't. They don't offer it at DirecTV.
Wow, that's terrible. Well, I'll be watching for you, Tarvin. So, all right, so let's talk about your Auburn Tigers, man. So, they're number 6. All right. It's a new year. They're 0-0. Let's forget about. I'm not even going to bring up the last game that they played in. However, let's talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks. So, what kind of problems do you potentially see Arkansas giving your Auburn Tigers, if any?
Well, you saw the last game of the year last year. They went to LSU, or they played LSU and almost beat them, and. You know, they run the ball well. They run 2 tight ends. They have a stable of running backs, a decent quarterback, and they can beat you up physically. And if you don't score, they will give you trouble. And I think, but the problem is going to be they can't score enough. I think Auburn's going to put up around 50 on them, and I just don't see them putting up near that many points. Good team, getting better, but I still think Arkansas is a winless team in the SEC this year, probably.
Absolutely, yeah. Who's the head coach over there at Arkansas? It's not Houston Nutt anymore, right?
No, it's Brett Bielema.
Yeah, that's right. The guy from Wisconsin, right? He came down to Arkansas.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken,
he went from Wisconsin to Arkansas.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. Now Nick Marshall, real quick. Do we see him at all, in your opinion, or is he officially suspended for the first game? What's the situation with that?
I don't think he's going to be suspended for a series. I think Jeremy Johnson comes in, maybe a couple first downs or something, and then Nick Marshall comes in. I don't think it's going to be anything more than a series. I would be surprised. But if Jeremy Johnson comes out the first drive and scores a touchdown, don't be surprised if you see him until he cools off a little bit. Nick Marshall has shown a lot of leadership after getting that citation in Georgia, actually. He's hungry. He's focused. He's more vocal. So Malzahn's going to reward him for turning it around. So trust me, it's not going to be long.
So we're going to see a Manziel-type suspension then, maybe the first half, and then he comes in the second half.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to pretend like nothing happened, which, I mean, with Nick Marshall, I mean, it's
– that was a citation.
I mean, nothing really did happen.
Yeah, it was just a, like a speeding ticket almost is really what it was.
Yeah, and I think the only reason people found out is because, I mean, did he confess? Did he tell on himself, or did somebody snitch him out? Or I don't even know the whole story about that, how people found out.
Well, I think somebody was driving by and saw him on the side of the road, and, you know, people with their phones and everything, and it gets reported. I mean, the world's a lot different place now with phones, you know? I mean, it's crazy. Everybody's a reporter. Everybody's in the media now, and I think it got reported before he even got back in the car with his ticket. It was already on the thing that Nick Marshall was pulled over by the police.
Wow. So, yeah, we got snitches in the, in the world, I guess. That's pretty – but you know what? At the same time, Nick Marshall should know better, Tarvin. I know he's 19, 20 years old. At the same time, you know, you always – at that age, you should know to be aware of your surroundings and know that people are watching you because, I mean, you are a college football quarterback who played in a national title game last year, so people are going to tend to know who you are. And, you know, for him to put himself out there, that's kind of his mistake too. At the same time, you know, there's just people out there that have nothing better to do than to, you know, button other people's business. But so anyway, who's going to be, now that Trey Mason is in the NFL, who's going to be running the ball for Auburn? Who's the starting tailback?
Well, you have Cameron Artis Payne. He's a senior. There was a number one JUCO running back that came out last year, and he did good in his games. He, you know, with Corey Grant and Trey Mason there, he didn't get the carries, but he knew he would get his year this year. You have Corey Grant, kind of like an Ontario McCaleb role. You have Rock Thomas, 5-star phenom, man. He's a true freshman. He's going to get some touches early. And Peyton Barber, to me, the best running back on the field at Auburn that nobody knows about. So write that name down right quick. Peyton Barber for Auburn will be a monster this year. And stable of running backs, but still, it's hard to replace Trey Mason. He's just that good of a running back. He's an every-down back. He can get you the third down, get you a first down on third and fourth down. Just somebody's going to have to step up big, and I think at least we have several choices to take his place.
Absolutely. I wrote it down, Tarvin Peyton Barber. So that's a name that Mr. Auburn himself, Tarvin, says to look out for. We could see him this year, I'm sure. You know, as time goes on, he might move up the depth chart, and we could see him in action later on in the year. So, all right, Tarvin, so anything else?
Hey, I'm going to give you a prediction. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Peyton Barber rushes for over 100 yards tomorrow against Arkansas.
Well, will he see the field, though?
I'm just saying it. He's a third string running back right now. He'll rush for 100 yards against Arkansas tomorrow.
We shall see if that happens, Tarvin. I'm gonna crown you the college football master. Would you call it that? You are the college football master, and you should have your own show. I think that's what I think.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe you can show me some love if that happens, and contact ESPN and all those guys and say, hey, we have a guy here that knows a lot more than y'all do about teams. So
you know,
I'm gonna
if that happens, I'm gonna pull a Sonny Clark. I'm gonna cut and paste, you know, this 10-second clip, and, you know, if they want to verify that we talked about it before, they're more than welcome to go to the website, Blog Talk Radio, and verify it for themselves. But I will send it out, and I'll be like, you need to hire this guy. This guy knows what he's talking about. You might even land a job on the SEC Network, Tarvin. And that
no,
would be
I,
cool.
I couldn't be worse. I couldn't be worse than Tim Tebow and Paul Feinbaum.
Well, Feinbaum actually entertains me a little bit just because of he looks so damn goofy, but you know, Tebow puts me to sleep. Honestly, he does.
Yeah.
He puts me to sleep. He's so vanilla and just, oh, I mean, God, I think our conversation is going better than what the SEC Network has with Tim Tebow. I'm sorry, but it's true.
You know, he acts like he wants to whine like a little bitch every time he talks, and he's trying to prove his point, and he's getting all excited about it. I just get tired of him. I can't stand. I've never liked Tim Tebow, and I never will.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Florida Gator, so that's all I'm going to say about that. So, you know, nothing against him personally, but he played for Florida. I mean, I can't like him. I'm not allowed to like him as a Tennessee fan, so. But all right, Auburn, or their Auburn fan, Tarvin, what is the one thing you are looking forward to most as far as seeing your Auburn Tigers on the field tomorrow? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? What is the biggest thing that you are looking forward to?
Well, there's three things. Number one is special teams. I'm interested to see how we do with a new kicker. And our kicker is our punter as well. That's very important. If you're going to win championships, you have to have good special teams. So that's number one. Number two is the defense. How improved is it? The second year in the system, bigger linebackers, bigger corners, bigger safeties, more experience, a lot of depth on the defensive line. How do they look against a physical team in Arkansas? And it's going to be a challenge. Number one, the development of Nick Marshall at quarterback, the progressions, how he throws the ball. And I don't think you're going to see just like an offense like last year, this game, you're not going to see the run 90% of the time. You're going to see probably about 55-45 passing. And if Nick Marshall's in there and he hits those receivers, it could be a big day. So there's a lot of things I'm excited about.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's just the fact that it's first game of the year, it's your team, obviously, and I don't blame you one bit. And they lost what was that kid's name, Davis, the one that ran that 109 yard missed field goal back? He's in the NFL now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's trying to make a squad. I don't know if he's going to be successful in making a team, but he was sure a sucky defensive player, though. Man, he sucked. I mean, He could run a kickoff back or a punt, but he could not cover a guy in a wheelchair.
Right, right. Well, you know, that guy had his moment of fame, though. I tell you, that was one of the most exciting moments I've ever witnessed in a college football game. And it's one of those where you'll never forget where you were, who was around you at the time. You know, that's what that was for me. I mean, I'll never forget, I was sitting on the end of my bed, and godly, and I'll be damned if I didn't tell myself, wouldn't that be something if he ran that thing all the way back? And sure enough, I said, holy cow. Even my wife.
I got chill bumps all the way up and down my body. How'd your wife react to that?
Oh, even she got excited, and she has no interest in football whatsoever. She looked, she was like, oh, my God, he actually took – he went all the way to the end. I said, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. That's the only thing I could say after that when I watched it. I was like, it's one of the most exciting things, one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen happen.
And think about what happened. You know, that was the best play I've ever seen as well. But think about what just happened. What, you know, it put Auburn in the SEC championship game. It knocked Alabama out of the SEC championship game, national championship game. It knocked out, I mean, it just rocked the world of college football. I mean, it was the biggest play at the biggest time. I mean, the Georgia game was big the week before. But that didn't have everything on the line. This game had everything on the line.
Well, yeah, and I think for Auburn fans, oh, Alabama too, but because Auburn won the game, it was a more personal thing too because, let's face it, you know, in college football, I don't care, unless you're just a casual fan, but you and I are not casual fans, okay? And I mean it with all of my heart when I say, if Tennessee could win, I don't care if they go 1-11. As long as that one win is against Florida, I'm happy. And I think I could say the same for you. And I might be wrong. Maybe it's a different team. Maybe you just don't agree with the statement. But if Auburn every year went 1-11, as long as they win the Iron Bowl, to you it was worth it.
No, I mean I want to win that game, but going 1-11 would suck.
Just hypothetical. Maybe you and I are different.
If I was going to go 1-11, and I could guarantee, look, you're going to lose 11 games a year, but that one win is going to be Alabama. I guess I'd learn. At least I wouldn't have to hear Alabama fans run their mouth all the time.
And there you go, bragging rights. You have the bragging rights every year. But I mean, honestly, nobody wants to see that happen. But that's just the rivalry, and that's what makes college football so great. And nowhere else will you hear that except in the South. SEC fans, Georgia fans will say, well, as long as the one win is against, it could be against Tennessee. It could be against South Carolina. It could be against, it could be against Clemson or whoever the one team that they want to just, they want them to win so bad. For me, obviously, it's Florida. That's the one team I want to see Tennessee beat every year. I won't miss that game for anything.
Cuervo, I need to step off for about just a couple minutes, and I'll be right back, okay?
Absolutely. So hopefully we get Tarvin back in. But I'm sorry, folks. That one win means more than other wins. And, I guess there's really no way to explain it. You just have to be a real passionate college football fan to really understand that one win that you're looking for is against your rival, is against the team that you quote-unquote hate the most. And, at least for one day it makes you happy. So, but I don't think there's any doubt that Auburn's going to win this game. They're going to win by a lot. And they're going to be looking forward to their game next week. And I don't remember who they play, but let's pull that up real quick. Auburn, after this game tomorrow, they are going to get ready for San Jose State. And then they have a big game on a Thursday night at Kansas State. So that is going to be a game that I know for a fact my guy Tarvin's going to be watching out for, and he's going to be biting his fingernails because that game probably makes him a little nervous. So, while he's gone, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to the number three game, which is the defending champion Florida State Seminoles taking on Oklahoma State. How is Florida State going to look? How is Jameis Winston going to look? How is this team going to perform? Will they continue to play at a high level? My thought, I don't think they miss a beat because they still have Winston. And as far as Oklahoma State, they're just not going to be competitive. I really don't think they're going to be very competitive. I know people are going to try to hype this game up, but folks, Florida State is an 18-point favorite against a good Oklahoma State team for a reason. It's a good team. It's a very good team. And I just don't think they have the talent. I don't think they have the intensity that Florida State has. And Oklahoma State, last time I checked, last time they were in a big game was when Barry Sanders was the running back. So, and that was, 30 years ago? I'm sorry, Oklahoma State does not have a chance. Yeah, they've beaten some good teams. They beat Baylor last year, and then they laid two eggs against Oklahoma and then Missouri in the Cotton Bowl. And you look back in 2012, same thing. They lose to Texas, they lose to K-State, they lose to Oklahoma, they lose to Baylor. So in all their big games, they always fall short. And they have a chance to really, start their season out better than anybody in the country, and I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. I'm sorry. for the Oklahoma State fan, hey, you just got to hope that they keep it close, because I think that 18-point spread, 18 and a half, I think that's pretty generous on Vegas' part, because I'm telling you right now, I could see a situation where Florida State is up by 21 at the end of the first quarter. So for Oklahoma State, let's not act like you really have a chance, because they don't. So now I will say this. Looks like they have a guy in Clint Shelf who you know, played a little bit last year. I mean, he wasn't the starter, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, he played some. And I guess that kind of works out for them. But, again, you're playing the national champions, and it's just not going to – I'm sorry, this game's not going to be competitive. 18 points. Like I said, Florida State could be winning by that by the end of the first quarter. So – but hey, good luck to you, Oklahoma State. That's, you know, maybe you can keep it close. Maybe you can keep it within 18 in the first half. But after that, I think it's just going to be you know, cruise control for Florida State, and I could see them winning by 4 touchdowns. So, not really much to say in that game, and that's the number 3 game, which I think is going to be a blowout. That is how weak, and I'm kind of disappointed in this year's week one schedule, because I remember last year I praised college football for the games that they were giving us. And this year, they laid an egg. College football really laid an egg this year on how well the week one schedule is. And it's pretty disappointing. Well, we're going to go ahead. Let's talk about the number 2 game. And I guess you could flip-flop these two either way, but I put Clemson versus Georgia as the number 2 game of the week, at least of the day. You know, last year this was a pretty decent game. I know Clemson won the game, and I'm trying to pull up how it went last year, what the final score was. I know it was a pretty close game. Clemson got the win 38-35. For those who don't remember, you know, Taj Boyd, 5 touchdowns in that game. Todd Gurley for Georgia gets hurt. And I think Georgia had it until that injury. And, you know, this is a totally different Clemson team now. No more Taj Boyd. No more Sammy Watkins. They lost some of their defensive players as well, if I'm not mistaken. They lost quite a bit. So this is definitely not the same Clemson team that we saw last year. And I really think that we could see a very, very competitive game in this year's game. We're going to see how good Clemson can be. I think this is a very good test in the first week. Georgia's favored by 8 points, and I don't disagree with that. I can't. I mean, when you look at it, you still got the running game. You still got some of the receiving core that they missed out on last year. So with that being said, I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards Georgia a little bit. Now, if anybody can call in, or do we have Tarvin back? Tarvin, are you back, buddy? I guess he's not back yet, so we'll see if he can get back on. But I think I'm leaning towards Georgia a little bit, just because of the running game and the home field that Georgia's going to have, the home field advantage that this game is at, between the hedges. And I want to see how good Clemson can be without Boyd. And I say that because I think Boyd is what made this whole thing go last year. And, you know, Clemson capped off their season last year losing, unfortunately, to Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, I believe it was. And now he's in the NFL fighting for a roster spot. So, I mean, I wonder what Clemson's going to look like. Are they, you know, are they still the same type of team? You know, what kind of quarterback do they have now? A lot of questions for Clemson. Georgia, you know what you're getting with Georgia. You're getting a pro-style offense, big-time players, you know, NFL guys that are going to make NFL rosters. But with Clemson, I don't know. I know they had a couple of they had one first-round pick last year, which was Watkins. Georgia sometimes has three of those in the first round. So, I mean, last year wasn't quite the talent pool, but we've seen it in the past. So I'm going to go with Georgia just because of the home field, and I just think they have a little bit better talent, especially at the running game. So, anybody wants to argue that against me? Again, the number's 347-637-2306. Call in, get online, let's debate. Why do you think Clemson will win this game? Why do I think Georgia wins this game? By all means, this is your show as well. Get in, let us know where you're calling from, who's your team, and you know, we'll get you online and we'll get you rolling. So is Tarvin, I see Tarvin is still online. Are you back yet, Tarvin? Nope, no Tarvin. Okay. So, with that being said, I'm looking forward to this game. This game is, I actually wish that this game was on a neutral site. I think it would make it that much more exciting. Games like this should always be on a neutral site. And, however, I understand the agreement between the schools, and it was one of those games where, you know, it was, I'll play in your house first year, you come to my house the next year, that whole thing. And I respect that. I think it's good for teams to go out there and do those types of things. Ah, good old H2O. All right, so I got Georgia. Anybody want to argue against me? I don't know if Tarvin likes Georgia or if he's going with Clemson. But as soon as he comes back in, if he's able to come back in, we'll get his opinion. We'll get him back online, and we'll find out what he thinks about this game. But until then, let's get into the number one game. We all know which one it is, since Clemson, Georgia is number two. How could you not pick Wisconsin LSU as the number one game of the week? This is the game that everybody's going to be watching. This is the game that everyone's going to have their eyes glued to the TV. Why? Because the game is on a neutral site, and this is what I was just talking about. This game is down in Houston, Texas, and I don't know why they don't. Why didn't they play this game in Dallas? That's a good question. But you know what? The game's in Houston, and this is going to be a good test for both teams. You know, Wisconsin, a lot of people want to bring them, you know, anoint them as the new king of the Big Ten. I just don't know if they're ready for that yet. With Stav not being there anymore, what is he going to do? Or what's Wisconsin going to do? Who is their quarterback now? So, actually, I have the answer right here for you. It is Tanner McAvoy, who, oh, by the way, was a safety last year. Not a good thing for the Wisconsin Badgers. That's not a way you want to start the season off with a guy who's never played quarterback in a game going up against an LSU defense. I'm sorry. I don't know how that's going to work out for you. I can tell you from watching on my couch That's not going to be good for Wisconsin fans. You know, let's not forget, we're talking about LSU. We're talking about big-time SEC, okay, defense. This team doesn't rebuild defensively. They just reload. And they reload with NFL talent, not average talent, not, oh, well, you didn't make this team, but you can make our team. No. No, everybody else gets the LSU reject, so to speak, except for Bama. LSU's
Cuervo, are you on the LSU payroll tonight?
Am I on the LSU payroll tonight? No, I'm not, Tarvin, but I am on the LSU is going to win bandwagon against Wisconsin tomorrow.
Not so
God,
fast,
God, I'd love to be,
friend.
Though, because they probably make good money.
Not so fast, my friend. Wisconsin tomorrow night. It's just a feeling I have, a gut feeling.
Well, you know what? I mean, if this game was in Madison, Tarvin, I would agree with you. However, we all know what LSU is capable of on neutral ground. And I was just saying, Wisconsin's starting quarterback, my God, he was a safety last year. I'm sorry, that just doesn't add up for the Badgers. And I don't know, I just don't feel like that's going to go well for the Badgers. Now, they might turn around and just run the ball down LSU's throat, Tarvin. But, again, this is an LSU defense that just reloads every year, and they are stacked with NFL talent. So I don't know. I mean, what is it about Wisconsin that you like? So you're picking Wisconsin. What is it about? Is it just a gut feeling, or is there another reason?
Well, I just don't see. I think LSU lost a lot, and I think they didn't look that good last year to me. They lost all their best players, and you look at recruiting. Yeah, they just reload. But if you look at the last couple of years, they haven't had those dominant classes, but they do have Fournette, a running back, that could take over the game. I'm excited to see. And it's just a gut feeling. There's no proof I have. I mean, most of it is just I look at the line in Vegas and I see it at 4.5 to 5, and it makes me kind of wonder about it a little bit. It's not like LSU's favored 17 and I'm picking it. They're only favored 4.5 or 5. So it's just a gut instinct right now. It doesn't mean – anything, but I just don't have a lot of faith in LSU this year.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I'm going to make a bold prediction myself. You know, you mentioned the number 17. I think LSU wins by 17. I just don't think Wisconsin has the, I don't know, I don't want to even say talent, because they recruit great talent. All right. I'm not saying LSU or that Wisconsin, they recruit scrubs. Obviously not. I mean, the guy who just won the Super Bowl came from that school. So they obviously can recruit some good talent. Now, what I'm concerned with is how many games like this has Wisconsin played in? And I'm talking on a neutral site against a big-time team like the LSU Tigers to open up their season. All right, and I'm not even talking about bowl games, Tarvin. All right, because, yeah, bowl games are big, but you're in season form. You know, you've played, you're beat up a little bit, but you're in great shape, and, you know, you're on that momentum. And I've seen Wisconsin win games like that. But what about to start their season out? I have yet to see Wisconsin tested in this type of way on a neutral site against one of the better teams in the Southeastern Conference, the best conference. I just don't know how well they're going to respond to the situation, to the environment, and, you know, to the competition. So that's what's got me not just picking LSU, but LSU to win big. And I'm talking at least 14 to 17 points. I really think LSU is going to go in there and just, you know, blow the doors off on not just Wisconsin, but on college football to say, look, don't forget about us, just like A&M did last night. I really do feel like the LSU can make that type of statement in tomorrow night's game?
Wait.
Yeah.
I'll be right back, Webbo.
Absolutely. So we're gonna hopefully get Tarvin back. Sounds like he's got a busy night. So, hey, sorry. That's what I think. I think LSU, you know, they play these type of games every single year, and they come up on top every single time. Okay, you don't believe me? All right, so let's take a small stroll down memory lane real quick, and maybe this will drive the point home a little bit more. 2013, neutral site against TCU. Final score of that game, as soon as my computer decides to pull it up, 37-27. All right, neutral site. Let's jump back 2 years ago. Who do they play? The almighty West Virginia Mountaineers with Geno Smith. And I think they still had one of the top running backs they had at that time. Oh, yeah. Same result. Wait, actually, that would be 3 years ago, not 2 years ago. So they beat Geno Smith, and the West Virginia Mountaineers 47-21, and that wasn't even the opening game. That was at West Virginia. I was thinking of a different game. Oh no! In 2011, they beat Oregon. Okay, who everybody
beat them like a drum.
40-27 was the final in that game, and let's take a look. Let's see, Oregon at that time, with Chip Kelly, had a freshman by the name of I clicked on the wrong thing, Tarvin. Let's take a look back at what happened in that game. So they had that Thomas kid, the quarterback, threw one touchdown, one interception, 31 for 54, 240 yards. Michael James, okay, 18 carries, 54 yards, three yards per carry. All right. The point I'm making, Tarvin, is LSU plays these type of games every year, and they come out with the same result every single year. And maybe this year's different. Maybe you're onto something. I'm just going to go with what I know, and what I know is that LSU plays these type of games at the beginning of their schedule every year, and they always win on the neutral field, whatever the case may be. So I'm just going to pick with what I'm comfortable with, and that's, LSU Tigers. I think they're going to win this game.
Well, I'm pulling for them. For LSU. I'm pulling for them, Cuervo. I mean, I'm hoping you're right. But, I mean, that running back Fournette for LSU, he may go off for 200 yards. That's how talented he is. And if he does, LSU could blow it open. But you got to look at recruiting. I want you to go look at Wisconsin's recruiting the last two or three years and look at LSU's and tell me what you see.
I would imagine since we're on that subject, it sounds like Wisconsin's had some better class rankings. So, you know what? I'm going to hold you to it, Tarvin. Let's look at last. So, 2014, let's compare. So, LSU had the number two class, or was that last year? 2014. Okay, yeah, that's probably this past year. All right, so 2013. LSU had the number seven class. Wisconsin, 33rd. 2012. LSU, number 14. Wisconsin, as soon as it pops up. Okay, well, I don't even see them on here, so they're at least 25th at best. So, I'm trying to pull it up, and I'm not finding it, Tarvin. So, I saw LSU. Do you remember Wisconsin's ranking in 2012?
Exactly. No, I don't. That's why. I mean, they don't recruit well.
Right. I mean, we can even take it back another year. 2011, LSU's number 10. Wisconsin, not even in the top 25. So what is it about Wisconsin that you like this year? I mean, or you just want to see the upset?
No, I'm just looking at the point spread, man, and I think it should be higher. I think, like you, everything you said is correct. It makes me believe LSU is going to win, but why is that line so low for them? That's what I can't understand. Well, like you said, Wisconsin, they're not much to write home about. They're not explosive. LSU is. I mean, it should be at least a, like you said, 14, 17-point game, but why is the line so low? It's like Vegas knows something. There's a matchup somewhere that nobody's talking about, but they can't put the line any lower or they could be in risk of losing a ton of money. So I don't know. It just something tells me that line doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, you know what? I think it could be too, Tarvin, is, again, you know, preseason polls and the beginning of the year is always tricky. It really is because we don't know what teams are this so far. I mean, we could see, just as much as we're talking about this Fournette kid going off, we could see this Melvin Gordon kid for Wisconsin go off for 200 yards. And maybe that's what it is, just because of the fact that we don't know what we're going to get from either one of these teams. I think Vegas, this is one of those, it could wind up being a sucker bet, like you always call it. This might, I mean, Wisconsin might win by 21. We just don't know yet, and I think Vegas just threw a number out there that they were hoping people would bite on, and I'll tell you what, I bet you, Tarvin, if there was a way to look up how much money has been put on these games, I guarantee you LSU-Wisconsin's got to be one of the lowest. I mean, aside from, you know, the ones that never get action or whatever. But I'm talking about the you know, the big-time games, you know, this game, Clemson-Georgia, Florida State-Oklahoma, even Bama-West Virginia, like all the big games that you know people are putting money on. If there was a way to look it up, I guarantee you this game probably has the lowest amount just because of the fact that I don't think people know which way to go. I really, with that, with, like you just said, that this line is so tricky, people are probably just staying away from it.
Yeah, it could easily be, but I think more people will bet on it, Cuervo, because it's the only game that ranks two teams close to each other. So, I mean, you got to bet on it. It's just which way you're going to go. I'll pull that up for you tomorrow night after the game starts and tell you how much money was put on it in Vegas.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's really interesting. I'm telling you, well, Clemson-Georgia, don't forget about that game, Tarvin. That's another game where, you know, you got two teams that are ranked pretty close to each other. They're going to be going at it. Who do you like in that one, by the way? I tend to pull with Georgia just because of the home field, and they have the running game to beat Clemson. Which way are you going with that game?
Georgia seems to make sense, but I'm not sold on Georgia. Clemson's young, they're talented, they lost a lot, so I'm going to say Georgia in a close game.
Yeah, I think so as well, and that, to me, I don't, by no means am I saying that's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's even going to be, I mean, it might not even be a 10-point game. I think it'll be within 10 points. I believe, yeah, Georgia's 7.5, so I would take Clemson. I mean, this game was a 3-point game last year, Tarvin, so I don't know where they got the 7.5 from, but that's definitely not going to happen. So I'm taking
Georgia's overrated.
I'm taking Clemson.
It's because Georgia's overrated, and people are listening to ESPN all the time talking about how great Georgia is. They're going to win the SEC. They're going to be in the Final Four, and I hope Clemson beats the shit out of them, to tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, those are idiots, though, Tarvin. I mean, how are you going to pick Georgia to be in the Final Four when they just lost? Now, if they still had Aaron Murray and he was somehow eligible for a 6-year, then I might think about it. With a new quarterback, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Clemson or Georgia has no chance of getting past you know, probably even their own division. I mean, I would imagine South Carolina is going to bounce back. You know, you got Florida to worry about. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have a good defense. Hopefully Tennessee plays much better this year. And, I mean, I'd be surprised if Georgia got out of their own division.
Yeah, I would be too.
So, we'll see. But I'm going with Georgia, and then I'm going to go with LSU pretty big in this game. So, real quick, let's get another update, Tarvin, as far as the game's going on tonight. We've got Michigan State just beating the dog crap out of Jacksonville State. That game has about a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. It's 45-7, Spartans with the lead. So that's what's going on in that game. We've got BYU and UConn going at it. They're up 28-10 with about just under 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Syracuse ahead of Villanova, 17-14. That game is in the third quarter. Western Kentucky up on Bowling Green, 38-10. Colorado up on Colorado State, 10-0. And in the early second quarter in that game, early second quarter as well, we've got UTSA ahead of Houston, 7-0. And later on tonight, UNLV will take on Arizona, who's favored by 22 points. So that looks like it's going to be a blowout. So that is tonight's action in college football. Tarvin, we've got about 30 minutes left in the show. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about specifically before we, you know, get out of here? Because, I mean, we've covered the five games and things like that. So, I mean, is there anything else that you want to talk about before we cut it off?
I'm good, Cuervo. I'll have more to say once I can see all these teams in action. And till then, it's just all speculation.
Now, if you could say one thing about week one, would it be that, or what is your biggest message as far as the first week of college football is concerned? What's the biggest thing that people should watch out for or not watch out for? What's the biggest thing we should take away from the first week?
Well, I just look at the year since we've played football and, you know, messaged all these teams out there, Michigan State, teams like that, play somebody decent. I mean, this is ridiculous. The first week of football should be just action-packed, big-time games, and we get crap like this that we're seeing on a Friday night that nobody really wants to watch. Even a college football junkie as myself won't watch a game tonight because it just sucks. So let's have more of the LSU-Wisconsin, Texas A&M, South Carolina matchups just so we can, you know, enjoy it more. That's the message I'd like to send. And I hope the committee weighs this schedule when they're making their considerations at the end of the year, what these teams like Michigan State playing Jacksonville State the first game. And Michigan State, I'm not sold on them either. So I'm interested to see the season develop and see how they do. I think they're going to take a step back as well.
Yeah, Tarvin. I mean, my gosh. You know, I'm disappointed too. You know, and it's funny because if you go to your archive, Tarvin, I'm telling you, last year I was praising college football for the games that we were getting in the first week. I was like, this is great. You know, keep it up. Let's keep seeing games like this. And then we get this crap. We get, you know, Michigan State versus Jacksonville State. We get Alabama versus a washed up, no good West Virginia team. You get, you know, Florida. I'm sorry, I'm not sold on Florida State versus Oklahoma State. Florida State, Oklahoma State's going to be lucky to be, the spread is 18, Tarvin, 19. They're going to be lucky to be down by that much by halftime.
But I can respect the name Florida State and Oklahoma State. You got two big conferences playing each other. I can get that one. I mean, and I can get Alabama West Virginia in a way, because when that game was scheduled, nobody knew West Virginia was going to be this bad. But it's these it's these games like that we see, like Michigan State tonight. We'll see Ohio State. The entire Big Ten, besides Wisconsin, plays nobody. The SEC, besides one game, really, there's nothing exciting going on. I mean, it's just, this is football time. Let's have a big matchup in Dallas. LSU-Wisconsin, does that really make you just hungry for football? Not really. I mean, it's better Georgia-Clemson. I want to see more games like that. I want to see Ohio State play Oregon the first week or UCLA, or I want to see Michigan play somebody besides the Appalachians every year. I mean, it's just, it sucks, man. It's bad for the game, and I hope the committee sends a big message to some of these teams like that. You know, Texas A&M playing Lamar next week, and SMU and Rice, and 3 weeks in a row, that's your competition. Something has to be done. And until the committee comes out and says, look, your strength of schedule means more than anything out there, more than conference championships, teams are going to keep doing this. I think they're scared, Cuervo. I think teams are scared right now. They don't want to lose early. They don't want to be out of contention, but it's just bad for college football fans. I mean, do you think I'm going to go spend $100 to go watch Auburn play Arkansas tomorrow in 100-degree weather? No.
No, and that's why you're going to sit at home in the comfort of your home, drink your beverage of choice, and watch Auburn beat up on Arkansas in your, you know, 75-degree air conditioning. And I don't blame you for it. I don't, one bit. I don't blame you at all, because I wouldn't want to do that either. Tarvin, I just, you know what, as you're talking, I'm listening, and at the same time, I came up, I don't know how this just came about, but I just thought of an idea that could really just propel college football to a whole nother level. All
right,
because we're
talking mulligan, right? A mulligan.
Having
Give
good
them a mulligan.
Game. No. Well, yeah, I guess you can kind of say that. But this is what, this is my idea, okay? Now, I'm gonna start off with a question, and I think you might know where I'm going from here. Now, would you agree that, so let's take the LSU-Wisconsin game, for example, all right? 13 versus 14, right? Would you agree that whoever loses that game could bounce back throughout the season and climb their way back up if they run the table? Would you agree with that?
I would say one of them could.
Which would probably be LSU, right? Because they obviously play in the tougher schedule, okay? And they play in the tougher conference. Let me just throw this idea out there. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just, you know, just it's probably just the worst idea ever. But so we have a playoff at the end of the year, right? You got the top four teams playing each other. Awesome. What if they did something like that in the first week and they had the top six teams play each other? And again, we're talking about teams in top conferences, okay? And you could shuffle them however you want. So you got, let's just use this year for example, all right? The top six teams are Florida State, Alabama, Oregon, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Auburn. What if we had, you know, and you may not like this idea because you're an Auburn fan, what if Auburn played Ohio State their first game? Or what if they played Oklahoma their first game?
I would love
and
it.
And then you have Florida State play, you know, whoever, you know, just you mix the six teams up and they all play. So you get three games that are just unbelievable. And you throw a couple of other ones in there, you know, Clemson, Georgia, you keep that one how it is. A&M versus South Carolina, you keep that game how it is. But what if they did some sort of, kind of like they do in college basketball, where they have the, and I know they play a lot more games and it's not, doesn't mean as much, but, you know, something like the opening tournaments, I forget what they're called now. I mean,
like the Maui Invitational and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, hell, Michigan State versus UCLA would be an unbelievable game this weekend. Number 7 versus number 8. And I'm sorry, you whoever loses that game, I think, has the schedule to be able to climb their way back up and be able to contend again. Now, will these teams ever agree to it? No. But would that take college football to a whole nother level? I believe it would. Because you think about the money that you would make that first week. You would think about, you know, the TV ratings, like all this stuff that goes into it. I really think that, you know, it's worth the idea of throwing around, having top teams like that play each other. I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe I'm crazy, Tarvin, but.
Well, if you're a pollster out there and you see that those games, and unless you get blown out, you know, play them all in a neutral site or something, or you know, whatever you want to do. But just say Auburn plays Oklahoma and beat them 38-35. Well, you wouldn't penalize Oklahoma for that. You wouldn't penalize Auburn if they lost a three-point game. If they lost by 40, you would. But you just don't penalize them in the polls if they lose.
Right. And you know, and that's why, you know, even though teams wouldn't agree to it, that's worst-case scenario. You lose by 3 points, yeah, you go from number 6 to number 11, or you go from number 4 to number 10, or something like that. I still think if you start out 0-1 and you're still the number 10 team in the nation, Tarvin, I think you can still run the table and find yourself in that top 5 again. Because somebody's going to stumble along the way. Auburn's going to play Alabama at the end of the year. You got Oregon who's going to play Stanford. Stanford always finds their way into the top 5. Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know. Call me crazy, but, God, why not have some type of, and don't even call it a playoff. Just call it, you know what I'm saying, think of a name for it. I can't think of a name for it, but you call it, you know, the opening rounds of college football, or call it something, but have the top 6, 8, or hell, even 10 teams play each other. Have Baylor play UCLA. Have Ohio State play South Carolina. I mean, Michigan State versus Oregon. How unbelievable of a game would that be? Number 3 versus number 8. Alabama versus Oklahoma. Oh, no, they already played. Alabama versus, I don't know, Ohio State. I mean, those games would be unbelievable, Tarvin. And week one would be relevant. And we would know what kind of teams we have right off the bat. So you weed out the weak ones right off the bat. And that's another thing, too, Tarvin. You talk about Oklahoma's overrated. South Carolina's overrated. We're not going to know that until they actually play somebody, which isn't going to be until about a month from now. But if you put them against a competitive team right off the bat, you know exactly what you're going to get. And that'll allow the voters to actually have a better idea of who the real deal teams are. If Michigan State, you know, was to beat Oklahoma by 20, then, you know, Oklahoma has no business being the number 4 team in the nation. They don't even have, they barely belong in the poll if that was to happen. So,
Cuervo, my phone's dying right now, but I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
All right, buddy, you take care. That's Tarvin. So, I don't know, guys, maybe that's a crazy idea, but wouldn't that make college football just that much more exciting the first week? No. Instead, we get 45-7 game. We get, you know, 31-10 game. I mean, that's what we got to watch tomorrow, really? Alabama's going to destroy West Virginia. Florida State's going to beat up on Oklahoma State. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be the same poll for the next month until these teams start playing competitive football. They start actually playing somebody. Oregon playing South Dakota. They're favored by 54 points, people. My God. They could put the fourth string team in there and still win by 3 touchdowns. That's ridiculous. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but my God, please tell me, would an Oregon versus Ohio State game, would that just not be the most exciting thing about college football in week one? It's going to get people interested right away. Not, oh, I'll start watching in October because that's when the good games happen and that's when it really matters. No, week one, baby. You get Ohio State versus Oregon. You get Florida State versus, Oklahoma. You get Alabama takes on UCLA. I mean, my God, how awesome would that be? But you know what? That's fantasy land, and we got to wait for those type of games to happen at the end of the year. So, but, folks, that's just my idea. That's my opinion. Start off with those type of games at the beginning of the year so that way you know who the real teams are at the end of the year. So, well, that's going to do it, folks, for this evening. I appreciate everybody listening in the archives. I appreciate if you came into the chat room. Appreciate you giving us a listen. So, but we're going to end it here. For Tarvin, the host of Way In Sports, I appreciate you, buddy, coming on. And hopefully Auburn comes out with a win. I don't see why they wouldn't. But everybody, enjoy the rest of the college football tonight. Enjoy the college football tomorrow. It's going to be exciting. I know there's going to be a lot of blowouts. But you know what? It's still football, baby. Watch. Watch the games. So, for Tarvin, for the scorekeeper, by the way, I want to thank you, scorekeeper, for letting me use your channel on here to be able to do On Campus with Cuervo. I really appreciate the assistance and the help. So thank you, a big thank you to the NDB Media family. Thanks a lot. Sonny Clark, yeah, I know he's busy right now. He's calling a game, so he would have joined us, but he's busy at the moment. Check out Sports Talk with the Guys tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific time. They talk everything sports, everything from baseball to golf to NASCAR. So give them a listen, NDB Media, Sports Talk with the Guys, with the scorekeeper, with the big dog. Hopefully the big dog's feeling good. Hope you're feeling good, big dog. So for everybody in the NDB Media family, for the Couch Potato, for Tarvin, this is Cuervo. You've been on campus with me. Everybody, have a good night.